So we just open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you are with us. We thank you that you are a God who loves us and a God who cares for us. And Father, I just pray as we open your word now that you'll be with us. And that the words that are spoken are words you want spoken. And that that ears are open to hear them. So Father, we just commit this to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you, Sam, for reading that psalm. What I want to do is to concentrate on the first six verses of that psalm, so we'll pick them up as we go along. But do you know that we live in a day, in an age of proliferating knowledge? More and more knowledge each day we gain. I understand that the fund that makes up human knowledge has doubled every 2 years since 1960. I find that quite amazing. And it is now doubling at the rate of, it doubles every 18 months. Just think of that. The field of knowledge that there is in the world today doubles every 18 months. And did you know that some of that information is about you? It's about me and it's about you. You know, some marketing organisation can now make available detailed information about each and every one of us. Information. I understand that in the UK there are something like 27 million households, and these marketing organisations have information about 22 million of those. This is a wonderful phrase now. Based upon combined databases and statistical modelling techniques, they can describe your television viewing patterns, what you watch on the TV, what you listen to on the radio, what magazines and newspapers you read, what you purchase in the supermarket by brand. They know what the household demographics are like. You know what the age ranges are in households. And they also have a good idea about what key attitudes and behaviours and values are. When you think about it, is that scary? Is it scary that there are people out there who know so much about us? They know far more about us than we could ever imagine. And you know, we haven't seen the end of it. People predict that what we know today will only be a small percentage of what will be known by the year 2020. And that's only 4 years away. We're living in an age of exploding knowledge and change. And with all this knowledge growing by leaps and bounds, knowledge about you, knowledge about me. But you know, those people out there don't even know a small fraction about us that somebody else knows. And I'm talking about our all-knowing, omniscient God. And this is one of the major themes in Psalm 139 that Sam read for us. Psalm 139 is all about God. And I actually believe that it would do us really well to get to know this all-knowing, omniscient God. Probably a lot better than we know him at the moment. And what we're going to do is to look into this in more detail. Because David, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote this psalm. It was written to be used in worship with the accompaniment of musical instruments. And in this psalm, David exalts the majesty of God. Our great God who is all-knowing, he is omniscient. Our great God who is present everywhere, he is omnipresent. And our great God who is all-powerful. Our great God who is infinitely holy. This is the God who is the subject of this psalm. And in the first words of the psalm in Hebrew is the word Yahweh, Jehovah. I am, the great I am. The great covenant-keeping God of Israel. Because God is a God who keeps His word. He is present with His people and He keeps His word to them. And this psalm is all about God. But it's about how God knows me. How He surrounds me. How He made me. How He tests me. It's about how God knows you. How He surrounds you. How He made you. And how He tests you. Well, you know, David does more than teach us great doctrines about God. He shows us how these truths, how what is written here, relate to our lives today. We need to know that, you know. We need this desperately in our day and age, to know how God's word relates to us on an everyday basis. We need to know God. We need to know Him more intimately than we've ever known Him before. Because if we're going to deal with all of the problems that are around us in the world today, and all of the problems that we have personally, we need to know God. Because knowing God is the solution to most of our problems. If it doesn't solve them, it will help us to know how to handle them. Every single problem, every single thing that can happen in our lives. And the subject of these first six verses is God's omniscience. He knows everything, He knows me and He knows you. He knows us completely and thoroughly. He knows us intimately. You know, during the census, a mother was asked by a census taker how many children she had. She had a very large family, so she started to go through all her children. Oh, let's see now, there's Billy, and there's Harry, and there's Martha, and there's... And the census taker got a little bit impatient and annoyed with her. Never mind their names, just give me the number. Well, the mother got very indignant and said to the man, they don't have numbers, they have names. And that's the way it is with our relationship with the Lord. You might be a number to, let's say, the Inland Revenue. But with God, He knows your name. He knows who you are. You are an individual person to Him. He knows every one of us, personally and individually by name. He knows everything about you. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, the Lord knows those who are His. And the Lord knows who in this room are His. And He knows who in this room are not. He knows all about us. He knows those who are His. And what an encouragement that can be to each and every one of us. So let's look at this, go along the journey with David in this psalm. And I want to pick up three key aspects about how God knows us. I want to look at the scope of God's knowledge, the detail of God's knowledge, and the wonder of God's knowledge. So first of all, the scope of God's knowledge. Verse 1 says, O Lord, You have searched me and You know me. You is very emphatic in the original Hebrew. And the word search literally means to dig. It was often applied to the search of precious metals and gems. Another way to look at this is to think about an archaeological dig. Whenever they think they've come across something of value, they remove the dirt very carefully, scrutinizing everything and doing it very gently. They brush off the dust off everything very carefully and catalogue it accurately. And they do this with the entire area. They leave no stone unturned. That's the sort of picture of how God searches us and how God thoroughly knows us. But we've got to be very careful here. We can't take an illustration like that too far. Because the most important thing is that God doesn't search us with the idea that He is ignorant or doesn't know something about us. He doesn't search us to find out something He didn't know. He doesn't sit there and think, oh, well, I never knew that about Bill McIntyre. Absolutely not. He doesn't search us to get to know us, because there was never a time when he didn't know us. And there was never a time that he didn't know us thoroughly and intimately. You know, his knowledge is inherent in him, because of who he is. He knows us because of who he is, because he is God. People who do not know God don't often understand this. And sometimes they have questions that they think no one can answer. If we as finite human beings can know as much as we do, certainly God can know everything. You know, I've heard that the United States has a sophisticated satellite in the sky, or satellites in the sky, that monitor military activity in every part of the world. Apparently, they can identify objects as small as 2 feet long from as far away as 100 miles in space. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I have difficulty getting my head around things like that. I find it really quite mind-boggling. Well, the point here is that if we, as finite human beings, can then know that much, certainly our infinite God can know so much more. And he knows what's in our hearts. And he didn't have to go to school or college or university to learn that. Nobody taught it him. It's simply because he is God. And he knows us as thoroughly as if he had taken us apart, bit by bit, atom by atom, and then put us back together again. He knows us completely, he knows us inside out, he knows us through and through, he knows us fully and completely, he knows us penetratingly. He knows us. Question for you, question for me. How do we feel about that? How do you feel knowing that God knows every little tiny thing about you? Everything you have ever done, said or thought. You know, is that a terrifying thought? Or I put to you, is it a cleansing thought? Is it an opportunity to take the blood of Christ who died on that cross for all the hidden things in our heart and cleanse ourselves completely? Is it an opportunity to start again with a clean slate? Is it an opportunity to turn to our saving God? Because through his blood, through the blood of Christ, we can be cleansed. So that's the scope of God's knowledge. So let's look at the details of God's knowledge. Verses 2 and 3 said, "You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways." Well, that just about covers everything, doesn't it? There's nothing left out there, is there? Every possible position we could be in is in those two verses. Everything we could do fits into those categories. God knows everything we do. I love how Spurgeon put it. Spurgeon said, and he's talking about God here, "Though you should give but a glance at my heart and see me as one sees a passing meteor moving afar, yet you would by that glimpse sum up all the meanings of my soul, so transparent is everything to your piercing glance." So God, looking at us as we would look at a meteor flying by, can know everything about us. In verse 3, the word comprehend. The word here literally means to winnow. Who knows what winnow means? And it's not the sound a horse makes. What David's done here is drawn an example from everyday life. Unlike farming today with sophisticated equipment, with combine harvesters and all this sort of thing, winnowing of grain would have been very, very common sight back in these days. What they would do, they would to winnow, they would toss the grain in the air and have the wind blow away the chaff, so that all would be left would be the seed. And this was a common sight to see people doing this. And this is a picture of what God does in our lives. He is able to sift everything of our lives. He is able to take out all of the chaff that is in us. Whether we are awake or asleep, whether we're sitting or lying down, He knows everything we do. He is familiar with all our ways. He knows what's going on in our lives. He knows every detail of our lives. According to Matthew 10:30, He even knows how many hairs we have on our head. But you know what's really wonderful about all of this? Is the fact that He's watching over us. The fact that He knows everything there is to know about us, and yet He still cares about every detail in our lives, everything we do. Now that can be comforting or disturbing depending on what we're doing, isn't that true? He's fully aware of everything we do. I heard this story about a farmer who had a small patch of corn, and he hadn't been doing very well in this particular year. So he decided he was going to borrow some corn from his neighbour's field, which had a much better yield of corn. So with a large sack underneath his arm, he took his son with him, his young son with him, to borrow some of his neighbour's corn. He quietly went to the farthest corner of the field. He looked carefully to the right and carefully to the left. He looked ahead of him, he looked behind him. And as he's reaching out to get that first ear of corn, his son piped up, "Dad, you forgot to look up." And I wonder, you know, how many times in this last week we've forgotten to look up. You know, we've looked around to see nobody, nobody saw that. Because you know that God is aware of what we're doing. Have we forgotten that He knows what we are saying? Have we forgotten He knows where we're going? He knows, He's familiar with all our ways. Not one thing is hidden from Him. But you know, He knows what we think. And that's not only, in verse 2b it says, "You understand my thought afar off." Well, that's not just about what we think, but it's about why we think it. He knows our aims, He knows our intents, our motives for why we think it. I don't know about you, but even I don't always understand my own intentions. But God does, and He's the only one who does. He not only knows our intentions, He fully understands them. He knows all about our thoughts, why we think them, why they're there, how they affect us. He knows all of that. Our most secret thoughts are never hidden from Him. And you know, He knows them even before we think them. And that could be what's behind the words "from afar." It could not only have the meaning that He knows our thoughts from afar off, as from heaven, but it could also have the meaning that He knows our thoughts even when those thoughts are far off from us. He knows what's coming. He knows before we think them. He knows everything about them. Do you know why you say some of the things you say? God knows. Do you know why you get angry when you do? God knows. Because he knows, he understands, he knows our thoughts. And since he's the only one who knows all about them, the best way to know ourselves is to get to know God. Human counsellors can help us sometimes, but they can't begin to know us like God knows us, fully and completely and thoroughly. 400 years before Christ, the philosopher Socrates said, "Know thyself." And people have been trying to do that ever since. We see all of these New Age type people saying, "You need to know yourself, you need to understand yourself." Well, I'll tell you this morning, the best way to know yourself is for you to know God. Because he's the only one who fully understands us. No counsellor, no therapist, no do-gooder knows about us the way that God knows about us. So if you want to know yourself, know God.
Elder.
And what we say, if he knows what we say. Verse 4, "For there is not the word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it all together." When he says there's not a word on my tongue, that could suggest that it's not yet been spoken, or it's about to be spoken. You know the phrase, "on the tip of my tongue"? It hasn't come out yet, but it's about to. And even before it comes out, God knows what it is. I find that amazing. Because I don't always know what I'm going to say before I say it. Do you? Well, God does. I think of all those things I've said in my life that I wish I'd not said. Times I've said, "How could I say that? How stupid was that?" But I'm sure you've never had that experience, have you? But you know what? The things I've said may have caught people by surprise. But I never caught God by surprise. He knew what I was going to say before I said it. But you know what is really, really amazing about that? That despite who I am, despite what I've done, despite what I've said, despite what I've thought, he's never stopped loving me. And that's the same for you. Even when I've done things and said things I've regretted, he keeps on loving me. But why? How does he keep on loving me? Because he is Yahweh. He is Jehovah. He is the covenant keeping God. Those who know Jesus as their Saviour were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And in knowing that, I also know that he will never let go of me. What a wonderful Lord that we have. What an awesome God that we have. That he knows us. Each and every one of you sitting here, he knows you. And he loves you. He keeps loving you. He still loves you. He loves you unconditionally. And also, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that you can do to make him love you more than he loves you right now. And that kind of love should help us to speak the kind of words that bring in joy and bring blessing to other people. It should help us to speak words that encourage, words that build up, words that bless other people. Not words that tear down, not words that destroy, He knows what we do, He knows what we think, He knows what we say. But He also knows what we need. Verse 5, "You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me." This brings us into God's omnipresence. Because the phrase, "You have laid your hand upon me," contains a wonderful truth. Because to lay your hand on someone in the Old Testament meant to bestow on them your blessing and offer them your protection. And that's exactly what God does for us. For those who turn to God, who recognise Jesus as their Saviour, He is laying His hand upon us, and it's like Him saying to each and every one of us, "I'm here with you, I know what you need, and I'm ready to help you." That should be a tremendous help and a tremendous encouragement to each and every one of us. It should be a help and an encouragement not only to those who know Him, but to those who don't know Him. "You have laid your hand upon me," David writes. He's there to help. And it's always there. He is always there with us. He knows when we're laid down with grief, with burdens that seem insurmountable, because He's there to provide help and comfort. He knows when we experience pain, and He provides the grace to help us bear it. He knows when we're facing the ache and pain of loneliness, and He's right there with His companionship. Just think of it. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever circumstances have invaded your life, your all-seeing, all-knowing Heavenly Father is aware of it. And His comforting, strengthening and protecting hand is upon you and is upon me. What a great truth. "You have laid your hand upon me." God is so great. God is so good. He can do whatever needs to be done for any one of His children throughout the whole world at the same time. Now that's amazing, really. It's truly mind-blowing. And that was David's conclusion as well. Because finally we see, number 3, the wonder of God's knowledge in verse 6. "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it." Goes back to the phrase I've used a few times. It blows my mind. You know, this is more than our minds can grasp. The Apostle Paul said very much the same thing in Romans 11, 33-36. "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become His counsellor? Or who has first given to Him, and it shall be repaid to Him? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." And if we can't grasp it fully, if it's too much for our minds to contain, God knows us. As we've said, every thought before we think it, everything we do before we do it. He knows every word we say before we say it. But He also knows our every need. He knows our every emotion. He knows our every motive. He knows our every intention. He knows our every desire. He knows every decision we face. He knows every trial that we suffer. Everything. You know, we can stick around and hide from each other, and hide things from each other. We can pretend with each other. We can put on airs and graces with each other. We can put on false fronts, as if everything is just fine. When people say to you, "How are you today?" And you say, "Yeah, I'm okay." But inside you're a mess. We put on these false fronts, but God knows that inside you're a mess. And God knows that if you turn to Him, He can help you with that mess. Because we can fool one another, but we can't fool God. God knows. And this could be very comforting for us. To think He knows us and understands us can be very comforting. He knows when our motives are pure and when maybe others are questioning our motives. Mm-hmm. When others misjudge or misrepresent us, God knows the truth. He knows every sincere effort we make to please Him, to praise Him and to glorify Him. When we are unjustly criticised or when we are persecuted for our faith, God knows our hearts. He knows us. But you know He also knows whether or not we are His children. He knows whether or not you have turned from your sins and trusted Christ as your Saviour and as your Lord. He knows. He knows if we have accepted His gift of grace, His gift of salvation. Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So I want to leave you with a question this morning. Have you accepted the gift of God? Have you accepted His salvation? Because God knows whether or not you've done that. And what better gift could you get today? Christmas is long past, but it's not too late to get the very best gift of all. God's gift of salvation given to you. What better way to start off the rest of your life? What better way to start than becoming a child of God? You can be born again spiritually by accepting His gift of salvation He is offering to you. So the question is, for our all-loving, all-knowing, all-present, most wonderful, amazing God, why not accept that gift today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your word. Father, we thank You that despite who we are and what we are and what we do, You are still there and You are still loving us. And Father, we thank You for that. So Father, just pray and thank You for Your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. We'll sing our last hymn, which is number 44, Blessed Assurance.
Blessed assurance.
And my God shall supply all your need, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Amen.